Hey, so before we get to this week's episode of Rock and or Roll, I wanted to let you know about a very exciting turn of events. I've been working with Chris Sinzak from the Despo Geek podcast. We're putting together an event for this summer that we're calling the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo. It's going to be on August 26th at Millennium Hall in Nashville, and there's a GoFundMe page. It's www.gofundme.com/rockandpodexpo. So ROCKNPOD Expo. Attendees of this event will get to hang with the hosts of and have the opportunity to witness episodes recorded live by some or all of the following podcasts: Decibel Geek, Pods and Sods, Podkist, The Rock and Roll Geek Show. Yes, Michael Butler's going to be there. Rock Solid, Pat Francis is coming. Rock and Metal Combat, maybe the Classic Metal Show, and we might get to see Butler and the Classic Metal Show guys in a Jell-O wrestling match, something like that. Brian Sword of the Double Stop is coming. He's on this episode that you're going to hear right after this intro. The Hustle, John Lamoureux of the Hustle Podcast is coming. Of course, I will be there. Kistery Science Theater hopefully will be there. Matt Porter of the Kiss Room is coming. Julian Gill of the Kiss FAQ podcast and all the great Kiss books. He's been on this podcast a couple of times. He was on a Def Leppard episode. We did Zodiac Mind Warp. Julian Gill is coming. Guys from Kiss My Wax might be there. Zilch, a Monkeys podcast. That's Ken from the Podkist, his other show. Cheap Talk with Trick Chat. Speaking of Ken from the Podkist, that's the Cheap Trick podcast that I do with Ken. Cobras and Fire, Talk to Me, Rock Strikes 10. Joey Haney from Rock Strikes 10 has been on the podcast a couple of times. Podcast Rock City, That Dandy Classic Music Hour, Randy W. Hall has been on the was on the one of the Def Leppard episodes. Also, those guys did a No Shame episode with me, and also the Ages of Rock podcast. All of those podcasts are coming to this event. So we're all going to be there. We're all going to have tables, and a lot of us are going to do live episodes of our show at the event at Millennium Hall in Nashville on August 26th. It's called the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo. We already did a GoFundMe to raise the $1,500 to pay for the venue. So the venue is booked, and this is really happening. So right now, the GoFundMe page has been edited. It was a tentative plan. Now it's a plan. It's happening, and we need to raise additional funds for travel expenses for all the podcasters to travel to Nashville and for all of the other expenses that we are going to incur as we put this event together. There will be vinyl and rock and roll memorabilia vendors on site. We're hoping to have Q&A sessions and signings with certain rock celebrities. Michael Wagner is a possibility, Anthony Korder from Tora Tora. We're thinking of maybe Mark Slaughter, people like that will be there. We're going to have a charitable auction. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff. That's why it's called the Rock and Pod Expo. It's mainly about the podcast, but it's just about rock fans in general gathering together to celebrate rock and roll and rock and roll podcasting. So here's the deal. If you go to the GoFundMe site, which is gofundme.com/rockandpodexpo, I'll have a link on Rock and or Roll. There's all the other podcasts are promoting this, so it shouldn't be that difficult to find the link. If you want to come to Nashville and join us, that's what we're hoping. We're very much hoping that podcast fans will come and join us in Nashville to celebrate rock and roll podcasting and just celebrate rock and roll. So if you go to the GoFundMe, you're not just donating, you'll also be purchasing your admission to the Rock and Pod Expo in Nashville. A minimum of $20, you'll be on the list. So if you come to Nashville on August 26th and you've contributed at least $20, you're in to the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo, which is going to be all day long and it's going to be a ton of fun. So we really hope you'll come join us. If you donate $35, at least you get admission to the event, and when you attend the event, there at the event only, you will receive a special edition Nashville Rock and Pod Expo first annual, hopefully, t-shirt. So $20 admission, $35 admission and the shirt. You can donate whatever you want. If you're not coming, you can go don't chip in $5 or $10 to help fund the event. If you're a huge fan of all these podcasts and just want to support what we do, we're all really excited to get together. A lot of us are friends. We've all become friends online. Most of us have never met. So we're all really excited just to gather together, meet each other, and just have a lot of fun. If you want to be a part of that, either by attending or just by contributing to help make it happen, go to the GoFundMe page. Like I said, GoFundMe.com/RockinPodExpo and chip in whatever you like. And I really, really hope to see you there. I will be there in Nashville, August 26th at Millennium Hall. If you want to come, please go chip in $20 and can't wait to see you there. If you can't make it, chip in $5 or $10 to help us out. All right, so now we're going to hear this week's episode of Rock and or Roll, which is a new series. This is Brian Sword's idea. It's a new series we're calling Worst Of. You'll hear us describe at the beginning of the episode exactly what's happening here, but this is a new series that will be, you know, here and there, there will be new episodes of Worst Of in the Rock and or Roll feed, the same way that I do No Shame, similar to that, and the same way that Brian and I also do Getting Bossy. So, like I said, go chip in, join us in Nashville in August, and here's the new episode of Rock and or Roll. Thanks.
Of all the worst things that could happen, this is the worst possible thing!
This is the worst!
All right, so here we're here on Rock and or Roll with a new idea, which actually was brought to me by my special guest, who the listeners of the podcast are familiar with. He's also my co-host on our little Getting Bossy series that we do, Brian Sword from the Double Stop. Hey, Brian.
Hey, BJ. The thing is that I'm always trying to look for excuses to sneak onto your show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You love to send me ideas for shows, and this one... this one was really good.
And the other ones were shitty.
Your idea originally was just we should just do. Well, I think we originally thought maybe this would even be a separate podcast. And then we thought, nah, let's just, you know, we could just fold it in the Rock and or Roll. But the idea was we would each pick our five least favorite songs by the artists. And then I said we could call it worst, like worst of dot, 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 and just fill in the blank. So each episode is worst of whoever. And so that's going to be the idea. I guess this is the worst of series that we're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter any like big artist that have, you know, like done 100 songs or whatever more, you know, they're not going to hit it out of the park every time. They always have some crappy songs. Do you want me to go into where the actual idea came from?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So it happens on Facebook often where I'm, or a message board or whatever, where it's some fan comes on, we're talking about something, and some douchebag fan comes on and says, well, if you don't like everything by this artist, you're not a real fan. And that always pisses me off because to me, any real fan gives every new record a chance. That's it. You know, as long as you like, if you like a band and a new record comes out and you give it a chance, you can call yourself a real fan. You know, like I've known a bunch of people who like say they love this band and then the new record comes out and they don't even bother listening to it. Like, I don't want to, I just like this album. You know, it's like, well, you're not really a fan then. You know, you like that album and that's cool. And I get so annoyed when people say, you know, and what this particular case was actually Dokken. It was for Shadow Life, and I was kind of making fun of the song Convenience Store Messiah because I think that's one of the worst songs ever recorded. And this guy was like, well, you're not a real fan then because you don't like everything. And that's what made me think of, you know, like every band's got this, you know, let's just like rattle off five songs that suck by, you know, bands we all like and, you know, and have some fun with it. Basically, that's where it came from.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, especially being in the world of the Kiss fans and even the Cheap Trick fans through the podcast. That, yeah, you encounter these people that refuse to admit that there's anything that the band ever did that isn't good. I always if I find an album where I like every song, that is a special album, because there's usually going to be at least one or two songs on any record that I don't really like that much, you know? So
I can't think of one. Like, even my favorite record, if I, you know, I've said it before on either Getting Bossy or Lee McCormick's Bruce Show, like Darkness on the Edge of Town is my favorite record. I don't like it. Not every song is a home run on that record, but it's still, as a whole, it's a piece of gold. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But I could still look at that record and find a song or two that I don't really think is that great. you know?
So sure.
It's how it goes. You just, and it's so personal and objective, and you just, no artist is going to hit it out of the park every single time they go up the bat.
Yeah, so we're calling these episodes Worst Of, but it's more, I mean, obviously it's just our opinion. These are the five songs that we like the least, maybe, or towards the bottom, at least, for these specific artists.
I hate my five. I hate them.
But Worst Of is just, you know, it's a play on Best Of, I guess. So it's just, it is. So this episode is going to be, I mean, the obvious place to start was with Worst Of the Beatles. that seemed like the obvious place to start.
You're daft, yeah.
I was under the
five.
Four of them.
One, two, three, four.
So this was a good place to start. So we each have our list of the five worst Beatles songs, at least in our opinion. I guess, should I start, or do you want to start?
And before we go, I actually have six.
Yeah?
Because I couldn't keep it down to five, because I think there are so many shitty Beatles songs. There are so many great ones. So my sixth one, well, it's got an honorable mention, and if we like match up on one, then I'll skip mine and go and give you my sixth.
Okay. Yeah, there are not very many Beatles songs that I would say suck. I'm not as big of a fan of the, you know, like pre-Rubber Soul Beatles, obviously, as after, but even those songs, they're, for what they are, I like most of them, even though I won't really go back and listen to the early Beatles very much, but there were some obvious ones for me, but I don't have a lot of honorable mentions because it wasn't that much for me to narrow this down to five. There were a couple others that came to mind, but so my number five is going to crack you up. I know. I think this is exactly what you were hoping for. and so that's why I put it at on this list, just because I've never liked this song. And I've never really been able to understand what everyone seems to like so much about it. It's always confused me. Rolling Stone ranked it at number 202 on their list of the 500 greatest songs of all time, and at number 9 on their list of the best 100 Beatles songs. And it's the first song on Abbey Road, Come Together. I've never gotten this song. I've never liked it at all. And I never understood why so many people covered it and why so many people seemed to think it was so great. I just never liked it. I might be being a little obnoxious by putting it on my list, but it really did come to mind as a Beatles song that I never liked, and especially when it's ranked number 9 by Rolling Stone, the 9th best Beatles song of all.
Yeah, right.
So...
Oh, I already
It's not even.
I already love what we're doing, BJ.
It's not even number 9 on Abbey Road.
Podcast goal.
I love the rest of Abbey Road, as though, you know, it's just like, at least this song is first, so I can just drop the record at the end of this and start there. Because I love the rest of Abbey Road, but this song, ugh. just, ugh, I don't get it. So there you go.
There you go. Come together. Well, I'm not going to start with one that's that well known, I guess, even though I do have some that come later.
All right.
my fifth was the song Rocky Raccoon.
Now, somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. And one day his woman ran off with another guy, hit young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that. He said, I'm gonna get that boy. So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival.
Now, I just think this song is so shitty and unlistenable. I think it's like they were trying to make fun of folk music or something. That's, you know, when I listen to it, it's like they're making fun of folk music. It's just so absurd to me, this song. I don't know. Do you know the song? Do you like song?
I like that song. One thing about that song, I'm not even sure. I guess they're trying to be funny. I don't really think it's funny. I do like it, though. I love the White Album for the most part. I love all the variety and the personality. And I just love the way the White Album's like kind of a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
But
I think that song's a mess.
I could understand not liking it. Yeah. What do you think of Come Together? We didn't get
Although, Come Together is not one of my favorites for sure. And that was one I'd consider putting on as well.
Yeah.
The thing is I don't think it's a bad song. I just don't think it's a great one. And so for it to get the attention it gets, I think is undeserved. But I didn't put it in on my list because I don't think it's a bad song. You know, it's just kind of in the middle somewhere. Fine. It's okay. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be one I would pick to be as popular as that is, that's for sure.
Yeah. I don't think the riff, that intro riff is any good. I don't think the verse is any good at all. It might have a hook. It's got a hook there, but still, there's not much to the chorus either. I don't know.
No, it's true.
So, yeah. So, do you have any more to say about Rocky Raccoon?
You know, it puts me to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a dumb song, but obviously, you know, they were trying to be dumb, probably.
I guess. I don't know. Like, yeah. Are they?
Well, it's mainly Paul, probably, that song, right?
Yes. Yeah. Paul wrote it. Yeah.
So, and I guess Paul has a lot of songs like that. They're very quirky and kind of cartoonish. All right. My number four was actually recorded by the Rolling Stones as their second single, and supposedly John and Paul wrote it. Supposedly they wanted John and Paul to write them a song, and they had part of this song written, and they ran into them on the street, and they went with them to where the studio, I don't know, and the Stones just stood there and watched as John and Paul went in the corner of the room and finished the song right then. And you could tell, it's called I Wanna Be Your Man.
I wanna be your lover, baby. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your lover, baby. I wanna be your man. Love you like no other, baby. Like no other can. Love you like no other, baby. Like no other can. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man.
And I think it's just like the most pedestrian, generic Beatles song there is, probably. You know, it's, and obviously they just Well, John, I have a quote from John. Yeah, here's what John Lennon said about the song. It was a throwaway. The only two versions of the song were Ringo and the Stones. That shows how much importance we put on it. So yeah, so the Stones version and the Beatles version came out in the same month, actually, November of 63, and they let Ringo sing this one. and it's just a dumb, you know, it really is the kind of song that they could write in 5 minutes standing in the corner in a hurry. That's what it is. So there you go. I wanna be your lover, baby. I wanna be your man.
Okay, I guess I'm up next. Now is when I'm going to start pissing people off, I think. Okay, so Rolling Stone ranked this song at number 456 on its list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. Written by Paul McCartney. I guess I don't like his song so much. Penny Lane.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs.
I just find it pretentious and boring. You know, when it comes on the radio, classic rock radio, I flick the channel instantly. I'm just like, nope.
It probably is pretentious. That probably is an accurate description. I do like that song, though. But I can't argue that it's not pretentious, I guess.
You see, that's the beauty of this. Not only are we going to offend all your listeners, we're going to offend each other.
Yeah, maybe. My top three are probably too easy now. You're probably going to be like, oh, that's a cop-out.
Okay.
Well, yeah, my number three song from Revolver called Love You Too, which, you know, some call it the sitar. I call it the shitar. I just can't stand. I can't stand sitar music, and you know. And then why is it that you have to sing like a monotone along with a sitar? Like any sitar song, the melody, there's just like no melody. It's just got to be like this droning monotone version of a melody too.
To yeah, go right.
Along with it.
Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah. The ugh. Not a fan of the shitar
See, yeah, I'm going right for the big guns on this on my list. Yeah. I gotta say, so good luck. So, okay, my next song, if we're jumping right in the next one, another Paul McCartney classic that I think is sappy and boring. You know what? When I hear this song, I think of AM radio. That's just AM radio is all I think of. Long and Winding Road.
The long and winding road. Disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here. Lead me to your door.
Like, one of the things I hate the most about the song is the Phil Spector, all the arrangements underneath it.
Yeah.
Phil Spector. I know, like, that pissed off McCartney.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what he wanted at all, and he was all pissed off about it. So maybe a version without all that crap on it may have been better. I think that's part of the reason why it just sounds so AM radio to me. was this the cheesy orchestra underneath?
Well, they put out that Let It Be Naked thing.
The long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here. Lead me to your door. The wild and windy night that the
Yeah, you're right, though. Phil Spector cheesed it up, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely wrong direction to take it, but I think it's a good song. I like it. All right, so that was your number three. So my,
yes, sir.
My number two, continuing in the theme of the shitar, so, song from Sgt. Pepper's called Within You, Without You, which, ugh, I hate this song. I really hate it. It's just a drone.
Behind the wall of illusion. the truth when it's far too late, when they pass away. We were talking about the lovely old butcher. When we find it, to try our best to hold it back. With our love, with our love, we could save the world if they only knew.
And I read, supposedly there was a 30-minute version of this fucking song, so holy shit. For one thing, any music that's written on drugs for people to listen to when they're on drugs, you know, that's just, that's never a good formula for me. And, yeah, so, you know, whatever, George Harrison was experimenting with this bullshit, but oh, to put that on Sgt. Pepper's, it doesn't fit. It doesn't make any sense on the record, and it's just so bad. I hate it, so...
I like to hear your anger. You're offended. You're offended that they would put a shitty song on a record. I like that. Okay, now I almost want to apologize for this, but I just don't like the song. 52, Rolling Stone magazine ranked this song 52 on its list of 100 greatest Beatles songs. Now, the reason I don't like this song is that it just, I hear it and it doesn't sound authentic to me. I've heard other bands do this song and I actually kind of like it. So I don't think it's the song. I think it's the Beatles doing this song.
It's the same out. Yeah, yeah. And then Victor does a sort of chipmunk's voice doing...
That's awful.
That's on, folks. And it keeps on going on and on. And then, in fact, we...
voice is saying, look after yourselves. Look after yourselves. Just all the time, look after yourselves. Mm. Bye for now. Mm.
We could have this. Yeah. We'll have a let you have a listen.
Because this is the last thing that happened. After the overshow and everything, we wanted God Save the Queen jokey. That's all folks by the cartoon.
We made it up from using Hammond, the Lowry organ and piano.
No, but we thought if we're going to have an ending, you know, for them to go out on. So a very squeamy voice, you have to say.
You hear what they got because it sounds rather ridiculous.
Whispered but so loud that when they went out, it was just really. Look after yourselves. Look after yourselves. Yeah, they really want to get out. You know. Yeah, I'll listen to it, but I just.
It's like one of those Tom and Jerry things. Yeah. It sounds good, though. Chris playing Lowry organ while I was playing piano. Having a ball.
Tell me the answer. You may be a lover, but you ain't no dancer. Look out, shelter, skelter. Do 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 do.
It's Helter Skelter.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. When I stop and I turn, and I go for a ride. Till I get to the bottom, and I see you again. Yeah, yeah.
I hear this, and I'm just like, I know, like, I've read that this song was like, it influenced heavy metal, you know, like a lot of heavy metal was drawn from this song or something. When I hear this song, I just don't believe this band. It doesn't sound authentic to me, them trying to rock out to this level. And I've also read that McCartney wrote this song as a reaction because people just accused him of only writing ballads, which again further cements what I hear when I hear this song is, I don't know, ABBA trying to do hard rock. It just is inauthentic. It doesn't work. And that's what I hear when I hear Helter Skelter.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a purposeful thing. Yeah, but I don't think it's one of the best Beatles songs. I do, especially in context, I think I can see that it was pretty cool. But I guess, so you think that Paul was trying to do a certain kind of thing there. He was, you know.
Oh, I think he clearly was. I think that statement is probably correct. That he was tired of being called a ballad guy, so he intentionally tried to write something as rocking as he could. But I just don't believe it when I hear him sing it, you know?
I think Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except for Me and My Monkey is a very similar song and like a billion times better.
Yeah, right.
So, but yeah, I enjoy Helter Skelter. I like the build. I like the way it builds. It's kind of cool. Especially if you put it in context, I think.
To the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. And I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. But do you, don't you want me to make you? I'm coming down fast, but don't let me break you. Tell me your answer. You may be a lover, but you ain't no dancer. Look out, Helter Skelter. Helter Skelter. Helter Skelter.
I feel like a real asshole now with my number one, because it's just too obvious. And like my wife said, is that even a song? You probably know what my number one is.
How much of Revolution Number 9 from the White Album was accidental?
Well, it's like an action painting. You don't. Revolution Number 9 is the weird one, right? Mm-hmm. I had a lot of loops, tape loops, which is just a circle of tape, if people don't understand it, that repeats itself over and over. Had about 10 of them on different mono machines, all spinning at once with pencils and things holding them. I had a basic track, which was the end of the Revolution song, where we'd gone on and on and on and on. And I just played it sort of live into another tape and just brought them in on faders, like you do as a DJ, and brought them in like that. And it was accidental in that way. I think I did it twice, maybe. And the second one was the take.
Mm-hmm.
And the number nine was an engineer's voice. You know, they have test tapes to see that the tapes are all right.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice was saying, this is number nine megacycles. He was talking like that. And I just liked the way he said number nine. So I just made a loop of him saying number nine and brought that in whenever I felt like it.
Uh-huh.
And 9th of October, I'll be 105, and nine seems to be my number. And it's the highest number in the universe. After that, you go back to one.
It's so funny how different we are. I went right for like, I listened right to like the best, like the biggest hits, you know, and it was just like picked off the ones that I think suck. And you're like dug deep. Okay, what do you got?
Revolution Number 9 of, you know,
yeah, right.
8.5 minute sound collage. Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Well, you know, my first, when I thought worst Beatles songs, my first thought was sitar. It's just going to be all his songs with the sitar. But, and obviously, I mean, this is just the obvious one, but like,
yeah, right.
You know, it really isn't the song.
Number nine. Number nine.
They are standing still upon the telegraph.
Number nine.
Watusi, the twist,
Eldorado.
Take this, brother. May it serve you well.
Maybe it's not
what?
That.
What?
Maybe even then. Thank you.
you have the members of the Beatles bringing like these outside influences in that just don't fit with what they were doing and trying to shoehorn it in. And yeah, you know, I guess that's how, that's what broke up the band probably more than anything, is right. They all wanted, they just were diverging so much in their styles that, you know, what is this? Obviously it's Yoko's influence and all of that too, but it's so pointless. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's not really a song. So there you go.
Yeah, I want a different route for my number one, but
it's probably Hey Jude, right?
No, I like Hey Jude.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so my number one song, and this one was like, it was a no-brainer for me. As soon as we decided to do this, I had my number one pretty fast.
It goes.
Go through it anyway if it makes make mistakes to just to practice it.
Try to remember, John. If I don't, well, it's just too bad, isn't it? Okay. Is it just me and you? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ooh. You're daft, guys.
Oh, it's one of the horrible.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ringo would tap along, and George would just suss the chords, and then George Martin would go, "Not far from nice, it was marvellous." So it would take about 20 minutes to do that.
George, what did it sound like with the bass doing a funny thing? Did it sound any good, or did it sound just like utterly crap?
Okay, this song has got to be listed. It was a number one hit, like most Beatles songs were, I guess. But this one to me is Beatles at their most sappy. You know, at the most boy band crappy to me. And the lyric, I'm not usually a lyric guy, but it's one of those ones where you just know they thought they were so clever when they came up with it. It turns my stomach when I hear this song 8 days a week.
Okay. Is it just me and you? 1, 2, 3, 4. Ooh.
Love me, love me, love me, ain't got love.
Ah, oh, I hate that song so much. And it's just so lame and cheesy to me. And it might as well be NSYNC singing this garbage to me. I hate this song.
I don't really like that song either, but you know, they were inventing that shit when they were doing it. So they were, but yeah, it's pretty dumb. It's pretty, I'm not a huge fan of that. You know, I'm not a big fan of I Want to Hold Your Hand and stuff like that either. It's not really, I would never go listen to that stuff, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But of course, you know, at the time it was so original and it was so, I mean, obviously it was so hugely influential and everything like that.
Oh, totally. That's why we still have boy bands.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like they were just the first ones to do it. And yep. So they were just, you know, they were just able to, I mean, you
absolutely.
Can, when you tap into something like that and you just figure it out, you know, they figured it out and then they just kept doing it. They just kept writing those songs because they figured it out and they were the first, you know, and there's not a lot of people that get to be at that special place in the history of anything where they're the first ones to figure something out that's really great. And they just, you know, they can just keep doing it and experimenting with it. And, but so yeah, some of those songs are really dumb, especially yeah. if you listen to the lyrics. Yeah,
exactly. And it's great that they were the inventors of it, but it's still a shit song, dude. Like,
yeah,
it is.
It's not, it's like I would ever choose to put it on. That's for sure.
No. Like, even some of the other, you know, boy band early stuff, I can listen to it and I get it and it's catchy and good and it's like I Want to Hold Your Hand. I'm fine with that song, but 8 days a week, I think it's a pile of crap.
Yeah, see, I didn't even go to anything like that because I was just going to the real shit.
And I was going for the popular shit.
At least I threw approaches. At least I threw Come Together in there, or else my list would have really been a cop out, right?
So do you want to know what my last, my on standby was?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I put the song Birthday on as my standby.
One, two.
Birthday. Cause it's my birthday to you. They say it's your birthday.
I used to play this song. I'm a bass player, and I used to play this song in a band back in high school. It is a super fun song to play, but just not a fun song to listen to for me. Love to play the song. It's a riot, especially as a bass player. But to listen to it, it's just like, no, it's not really a listenable song to me at this point. What do you think of that song?
Yeah, that's true. That's not such a good song. But I don't hate it. The only one I had, like, standby I had was Wild Honey Pie. That was one of the only standby I had. There aren't a whole lot of Beatles songs that I don't at least appreciate, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I definitely seem to hate the more popular stuff more than you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I went back and was listening to this, like, the earliest stuff, and I have to say, I at least, even though I'm not a huge fan of it, I can appreciate it. There wasn't anything that I was like, oh, that sucks, you know.
Yeah. Right. Well, I feel better for admitting to the world some of the songs I hate by the biggest band ever. That's fun.
Yeah.
I will say that the next one that we're doing, I won't spill the beans on who it is, but the next one we're doing, I found much more difficult. And I had to dig much, much, much deeper into the songs, into the records, to find five songs that I think are crap. Whereas the Beatles, it was pretty simple for me, actually.
Yeah, you just had some that stood out in your mind as being annoying when they come on the radio or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, like the ones that come on classic rock and I always just flip the station or, you know, put something else on that I don't want to hear. I just don't like them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, to any rock fan, and anybody knows the importance of the Beatles and just the, I'm a huge fan of the Beatles. So, like I keep saying, most of their songs I like, almost all of them, really. I like at least to a certain extent. So my list is not, probably not really what you had in mind, obviously. But,
no, I was a little surprised, but clearly you're a bigger fan than I then.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially since this was the Beatles were your idea, was the first one you wanted to do.
Oh yeah, well it just seemed like obviously the place to start.
Oh yeah.
We'll be able to branch off later and have more fun. But,
oh, I had fun.
Take two. Okay. One, two, three, four. That's not it. You're playing this, boy. One, two, three, four. I missed the beat. One, two, three, four.
Two, three, four. I'm again, I'm sorry, you know.
Take eight.
One, two, three, four. Well, she was just 17. You know what I mean. And the way she looked.
Take nine.
Got to get you in.
Sure. I won't come back no more. It's gone.
Five.
saw my love, I love her.
Hey, 12.
In the words, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sorry. How's Los happen here?
It's okay.
How's Goings? There's nothing you can sing that can't be sung.
Sure is.
There's nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game.
Johnny,
it's easy.
You're right, boy. You're right there, boy.
Ha!
We haven't got anything in the cans.
I'm ready to sing for the world, George, if you just give me the backing.
You got the wrong location, yeah. Pick up my bag. Run right home. What are you doing?
I can't keep it up. I've just got
one.
I haven't got one.
Take four.
Well, the baby said you're traveling on the one
after. Hell, I told
you.
It's you.
You said we'd miss out a little late.
One, two, three, four.
Well, she was just 17. You know what I mean. And the way she looked.
Take 12.
Just to love you, but I'm this boy, that boy,
Joe. This boy, that boy, that boy.
This boy, that boy.
Take
7. I should have known better with a girl like you.
Take 9.
Breathe after I've done that mouth organ bit. Can we skip the mouth organ?
And when I whisper,
I couldn't hear what chords they were going to. Did you go to the middle?
Take 12.
A bit less of George. I feel as I'm singing in a sock. A 1, 2, 3, 4.
Tell me why. Start again.
What did you do then? You made a mistake. I know you did.
I want us to hold your hand. Take 1.
Do it slower.
No.
Shh.
Clean beginning now. 1, 2, 3.
Take 9.
Here we go.
Shh.
I love that.
Shh.
Ready?
Shh.
Ringo, keep your bit dead.
Ringo!
We're taping. First one, very initial attack. 1, 2, 3. No, the first one, allowed. Attack. The second one, not quite so loud. Just try it. Oh, well, do it anyway. We'll just blast that bit, that one bit.
Oh, yeah!
Rhythm and Blues, part 9.
1, 2. You know,
Paul forgot to say
13.
George,
God,
great.
God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. I was just watching George and I thought, it must be all right.
1, 2.
You know.
14.
1, 2.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
15.
It's falling over here.
All right, well, thanks, Brian. Thanks for coming up with the idea. And thanks for admitting that you hate Penny Lane. Sorry, my list wasn't more adventurous.
Well, we'll see if anybody agreed with mine, because I guess mine were a little more controversial.
Yeah. Well, I think Long and Wide the Road is a great song. I understand what you're saying about Phil Spector's ridiculous kind of overproduction, but we all know how that guy turned out.
Yeah, right?
What a fucking nut job. Too bad you couldn't get him on the double stop. That would
be
a good interview. He could call you from prison.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car, the little children have an ear behind his back, and the banker never wears in the pouring rain. Very strange. Penny Lane is in
spirit of the Queen. He likes to keep his fire engine clean. It's a clean machine. Though she feels as if she's in a play, she is anyway. Penny Lane, the barber shaves another customer. We see the banker sitting waiting for a trim. And then the fireman rushes in from the pouring rain. Very strange, Penny Lane.
There you go. So there's the worst of the Beatles. I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know. Let me know at the Facebook page or the blog, Rock and Roll Podcast.blogspot.com. Let us know what are your five worst Beatles songs, and we'll see you again soon with the next installment of Worst Of.
I'll be back.